Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's bless the Lord today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the very same. God is worthy to be praised. Come on, let's praise God today. Hallelujah. Let the saints of God shout. Hallelujah. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He's worthy to be praised. I don't know about you, but I thank God that He gives me life and strength every day. Amen. I may not be as tall as I'd like. I may not have all the bank account that I want. I gotta sit on the side of my bed now. I'm north of 55, and I gotta sit on the side of the bed these days just to get myself together. But I thank God that He gives me health, He gives me strength, and He gives me a sound mind that stayed on Him. That's why God is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. John chapter 18, verse 37 and 38. I want to thank Pastor Ford and his lovely wife, First Lady Ford, for the invitation to all of the pastors and ministers and deacons and trustees and officers of this fine branch in Zion. Thank you so much for the invitation for us to come and fellowship with you. When I come here, I don't feel like I'm a visitor. I'm always welcome as one of the fold, and I appreciate that. But I got a bone to pick with your pastor. How he gonna feed us like that and expect y'all to pay attention? Shout out to the kitchen staff. Shout out to whoever made that beef and them turkey wings and those collard greens and the mac and cheese. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Woo! Man, y'all better not go sleep on me. Amen. John chapter 18, verse 37 and 38. You'll find similar words written. And I want to thank Brother Paul Mark for coming out. Paul Mark Correll. Amen. It's so good to see him. He did a fantastic job. And I don't want to undersell him. Pastor Ford mentioned that there were thousands of Kappas here. It was, I think, 10,000, right? That was the number, 10,000. And that brought millions to the city. And I just want to thank him because we gave out a bunch of money. They gave out, I think it was 170,000 to the school district, or was it more than that? Yeah. So I want to thank the members of Kappa Alpha Psi that I'm a part of, and this great leadership through this man for just giving so much to this fair city. Amen. God bless you, man. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate then said to Jesus, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in Jesus no fault at all. Blessed be the word of God. You may be seated. I want to give a big shout out to Greater Enon Missionary Baptist Church. Can all my members from Greater Enon just please stand up? All my members from Greater Enon. Yeah! Ooh, 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 ooh. Amen. Thank y'all so much for coming. Amen. Thank y'all so much. It's good to have a squad with you. Amen. You know, when you were little and you were in somebody else's neighborhood and things got a little heated, It was good when you had a scribe with you. But you start punking up when you ain't got a squire. And Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" For a thought, a theme, a title for this afternoon, this 10th anniversary celebration of this great man of God and his beautiful wife, what is truth? What is truth? On the morning of June 17th, 1972, Frank Wills, a black security guard, had no idea that on this day he would change the course of American history. At midnight, under the cover of darkness, Frank Wills reported to work for his late night shift as he always did for the last 24 years. But on this particular night, while Frank began to make his rounds to check the lock office doors that he was assigned to this building, several burglars had broken in a particular office in the building and secretly wiretapped the phones and stole highly classified, top-secret political documents. When Frank arrived to the section of the building where the burglars were, he discovered tape over the locked basement door. Thinking that somebody put the door ajar, he took the tape off and locked it behind him. But when Frank came around again to make his perimeter walk, he saw that the door was ajar and that the tape was back on the lock. Frank took the tape off the lock, locked the door, called the police, and the police and Frank began to make their rounds. In another inspection, Frank found, along with the police, they turned off all the elevators, and they found five burglars that had broken into the sixth-floor headquarters of the Democratic National Committee. They had broken into the building of the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. The five burglars that were caught and arrested were spies that the reelection campaign of Republican President Richard Milhouse Nixon had sent to get dirt on the Democratic National Committee to boost his reelection election campaign. Sound familiar? On November 17, 1973, when asked by a group of newspaper editors if he was involved in the cover-up of the Watergate break-in, President Nixon lied and denied his involvement and said, "I am not a crook." Over time, a thorough investigation revealed that Nixon was involved, that he ordered the break-in, and that he lied to the American people. Disgraced by his deceit, President Nixon resigned on August 9, 1974, making him the only U.S. president in presidential history, in American history, to ever resign the office of the presidency. When we think about truth, we think about lies, and when we think about lies, we think automatically sometimes about what? Truth. And in many cases, we can recognize a lie. Y'all, let me talk to the women. Y'all know when y'all are dating that guy? And he came, you know, late, and you looked him in the eye, and he was like, "Where were you?" And then all of a sudden he started talking, and you was like, "This Negro lying!" Lying! He lying! But you sat there, and you just listened. You was like, "I'm going to let him hang himself." But you recognize that it was a lie. And people, here it is, as quick as they recognize a lie, people, according to the text, recognize truth. Amen, somebody. People recognize authenticity in you, integrity in you. People recognize when there's truth in their presence. Amen, somebody. The people recognize and embrace truth. How do I know? Because Pilate said in the text, art thou a king? And I don't know if Jesus was using sarcasm. He said, you said it, I didn't. That's what he said. I'm paraphrasing. But what he said in the text in response was, that's what you said. Because you recognize truth. Just like we recognize a lie. Amen. And on this 10th anniversary, I just want to encourage my good friend, my good frat brother, to continue living and preaching truth. Amen, somebody. As Christians, we are a part of a sacred and royal priesthood of people. That's what the Bible calls us. If you're a Christian, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We're supposed to be about truth. If you are a part of the body of Christ, this royal priesthood, you are separated from what God says. I plucked you out of darkness, brought you into this marvelous light of truth. Amen. So we're separated from everybody else that doesn't spin or embrace truth. You're part of a royal priesthood. And royalty is all about excellence. They wear the best things. They speak well. They do everything at a superior level. Why? Because they're royalty. And as royalty, I gotta speak truth. Because that's the best of me. Keep this in mind, though. People will embrace and spread lies as long as it benefits their personal interests. That's why people lie. I don't want to get in trouble, so I'll lie. I don't want them mad at me because I dropped the ball, so I'm going to lie. I don't want them leaving me, so I'm going to lie. As long as it's in my personal interest, people will embrace a lie. Even though everybody know you lying, you know you lying, but you will embrace the lie for the sake of not being held accountable. But if we are authentic believers in Christ, we got to tell the truth. Because I'm accountable to God. And the text also lets me know that Jesus was born to promote truth. The text says, to this end, Jesus says, to this end I was born. And for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. As Christians, you and I were built for truth. Christianity isn't a religion. It's a lifestyle. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a lifestyle. Amen, somebody. I can't put this thing down. Look, I'm a Christian 24/7, 365. I can't help myself. I've been built like this. I've been built for truth. This ain't no thing I can just lay down. It's a lifestyle, not a religion. This is a lifestyle Christianity is. It's what I am 24/7, 365, on the job, at home, in the neighborhood. I am truth. As Christians, we're built for truth. And because I have an attentive ear, according to the text, to hear truth and to follow God's truth, which is His holy word, I was made to embrace honesty. I was made to be holy because God is holy. I was made to be gracious because God is gracious. I was made to be strong and of good courage and to fear not and nor be afraid. I was made to be generous. I was made to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. I was made to be my brother's keeper. I was made to love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. I was made to reject lies because every word of God is pure, and God is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Why? Because God is truth. I was made for this, is what Jesus says. I was made to bear witness of truth. I'm built for this. And if we were crafted in the image of God, you were built for this. What is this? Truth. You were built to be honest. You were built for integrity. You were built to be set apart from everybody else that might want to embrace and spin a lie. You were built for this. You're for tough. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You like that, didn't you? You like that? Pilate asked the profound question, what is truth? But he immediately answers himself. Pilate said, I find in Jesus no fault at all. So what is truth? It is without fault. It is pure. It's honest. And when you look at that text, when you look at the word, and I know where I'm at, so I got to throw y'all, you know, a little Bible lesson here, because I know where I am. I'm in Taylor, because y'all get plenty of Bible here. I looked up the word fault, and it's the Greek word aiatia. And aiatia means crime or criminal. And Pilate, when he faced the Jews and when he looked Jesus in the eye, he says, I find no crime or criminality in you. Because it is in this text where Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate to be, here it is, jailed and imprisoned and taken to Calvary's cross. But Pilate, it was his job to review cases, because every year one prisoner would be released for the Passover celebration. And Jesus was to be considered. And Pilate examined him. And Pilate asked him questions. And Pilate took him through a series of dialogue and questions about his character and what he was about. And Pilate came to the conclusion, I find no lie, no falsehood, no corruption in this man. Now, I want you to know how significant that was, because the Roman government at that time hated the Christians. They persecuted the Christians. They sacrificed us in the Colosseums for sport. And this Roman leader, who is a part of a government system that systematically hated Christians, persecuted Christians, this Roman leader said, I find no fault, no flaws, no crime, no guilt, no imperfection in this man. How many of us got that testimony? Nudge your neighbor and say, are you guilty or are you innocent? That one neighbor looked at y'all kind of funny. So look at your other neighbor. That one neighbor gave y'all the side eye. Just look at your other neighbor. But if you and I are going to live this thing out, you and I must be beyond reproach. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I are going to be perfect. No, we're not going to be perfect until we make it to glory. But what it should be is that I got to look very hard to find some dirt on you. Yeah. Amen, somebody. That don't mean you're perfect, but the Bible says that we should be beyond reproach, which means that if I'm looking for dirt, I got to look hard. And I love the fact that we had a president that was in office, number 44. Amen, somebody. Now, y'all know the Republican Party did not like that man. And you know they had 8 years to try to find some dirt on that man. And they couldn't. Amen, somebody. And that should be the reputation of each and every believer. That when people are gunning for you, looking to take you down, they got to look so hard and scratch their head and say, I can't find nothing. Until the tabernacle, I can't find nothing in their leadership. They ain't got nothing wrong with them.
everything they do is excellent.
I just want to give you a couple of things, and I want to take my little self to my seat right there and call this a day. What is truth? Truth is honest and authoritative. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, why does Paul tell us to think on those things? Because he wants to transform our thinking. Because some of us got stinking thinking. And the only way to get rid of stinking thinking is to, here it is, replace it with something good, something pure, something honest, something just, something true, something lovely. Think on these things. And then truth is factual. It is absent of deceit and lies. How do I know that? John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. And then I love what Numbers 23:19 says about truth being factual. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. God can't lie. Because if God tells one lie in his word, we could toss the Bible out the window, pack it up, and close every church on the planet. If he lies one time, there's no lie. There's no corruption in God. He's all truth all the time. And then truth is empowering and it's instructional. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I love what Galatians says. It says, stand fast in the word. Amen. Wherewith God has made you free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And you know what? A lie could keep you bound. Because now you got to remember, what did I say? When did I say it? Who did I say it to? How did I say it? Why did I say it? It takes too much. That's bondage. It takes too much. I've learned in my years of living. I've learned in my 58 years of living to just own my mistakes. Because now you ain't got nothing to hang over my head. Amen. Yup, I did it. I did that. I did that. I'm sorry. But I did do that. Because now you can't hang it over my head. Truth is liberty. Amen. Amen. So if you're a crackhead, say I'm a crackhead. If you're a liar, call it what God says. I'm a liar. Watch this. If you're a whoremonger. See, some of y'all call that being a player. Player, player. Pimping. Call it what God calls it. You're a whoremonger. Amen. You're an adulterer. You're a fornicator. Because see, when you confess your sins, amen, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And here's the kicker, to cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And I love Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them. And watch this. They follow me. Why? Because he's all about truth. One thing about Jesus, he's never going to steer you in the wrong direction. even if he chastises us. And he only chastises you because he loves you. And you know what? When my mom used to spank me when I was little, because I was one of them bad kids. I grew up in the Benning Home Projects of Chester. I was bad. And my mom used to beat me. Look. I wish they had DHS back then. My mom would beat me with Hot Wheel tracks, switches, broomsticks, shoes, whatever she could get her hand on. And she would hold my one hand and my pants be down on my ankles and she would be wearing me out with the other hand. And I'd be like, Mom, I'm fine. It's like, boy, I didn't want to do this. This hurts me more than it hurts you. I was like, stop lying. But now, as a father that had to chastise his own kids, I really know now that she was telling the truth. Because I never wanted to do that to my kids. I didn't want to take the switch or the belt to my kids. Oh, my God, especially my girl, my little princess. And I always try to give her a pass. But there are times where I have to chastise her and my son while they were little kids. Because watch this, it wasn't because I'm sadistic. It's not because I'm hateful and mean-spirited. It's because I want them to know, here it is, truth. I want them to understand integrity. I want them to understand and grasp at an early age accountability. Because I'm not always going to be around. And at least if I discipline them, I'll stop at a certain point. Because see, with me, I ain't do it like my mom did. My mom would beat us for like 24 hours. I would give my kids like 3 nice hard licks on their butt with the belt, and they knew it was only 3. But it was 3 hard ones. And that was it. Because even if I was so over the top angry, I knew I'm only giving them 3. And even though it was harsh punishment, watch this, they knew it had an end to it, and they knew, watch this, they deserved it. And half the time we complain about the chastisement that we go through because nobody likes chastisement. But here's the truth. God only chastises those that he loves. Let's give God some praise. And then the Bible says, truth is honest, and truth is full of integrity. Finally, Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. Think on these things. How often are we thinking on the virtues of God? How many of us take prayer time seriously where we just close out the world, go into our bedroom or closet? Sometimes it could be even the bathroom, where you're just in the solitude with you and God, and you're just reflecting on his mercy, you're reflecting on his grace, you're reflecting on the fact that you're a child of God, someone important in the sight of God, someone who's been positioned in an authority position. You have a great title. You are a child of the Most High. And then I reflect on stuff, and then watch this. I'm sometimes harder on me than God because I want to please him. And the truth of the matter is, if you police yourself and judge yourself, God won't have to. Amen, somebody. Truth is factual. It's absent of deceit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I love the fact that when we look at that truth, Jesus is absolute truth. He calls himself truth. He says, I am the way. Now, back in the day, that's what Christianity was called. It was called the way in ancient Roman times. And it was the government responsibility at that time to squash this movement, this uprising of this people that were a part of the way. And Jesus says, I am a way. I'm a truthful direction. I'm a good direction. But he says this about himself. He says, I am truth. So if you want to know what's fake and what's real, get into your word. I have a buddy who works for the Treasury. And he told me, he says, Mike, he says, when people are studying, you know, fake counterfeit bills, and that's the Secret Service. Secret Service has a protective detail for the president and for dignitaries, but they also have a section that's dedicated to protecting our commerce, our money. And so they police the flow of money throughout the country to make sure that our money has integrity, because there's a lot of people out there that are creating fake money. And so he told me when they study the Treasury Department, because that's where the Secret Service comes up under, he says when they study counterfeit, they're not studying the fake bills. He says they study the real thing so that when they get a fake, they can recognize the fake. But most of us would think that they would study the fake. No, because once you know what's real, amen, somebody, once you know what's true for yourself, see, you just can't take Pastor Ford's word, and he's a man of integrity, he's a man of truth, he's a man that upholds the word of God, but you cannot trust him. You got to go for the word yourself. Oh, taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who can rightfully divide the word of God. You got to go for your own. Yes, he's going to teach you. Yes, he's going to lead you to Christ. But you got to go for your own. Are you honest today in admitting whether or not you have a true devotional time at home? Are you honest today to say that that's the case, that you have private Bible study where you're reading truth so that when a lie comes your way, you can recognize a lie because you know truth? There may be somebody here today that don't know truth. And I want you to understand the power of that encounter with Pilate. Because here's a man who was a part of the government whose responsibility was to destroy Christianity. And that man, one of the highest officials in the Roman government, says, I see no fault in this man. What is truth? God bless you.
Amen. We bless the Lord. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. We thank Pastor Mike for sharing the word with us today. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. And we're not going to take much time, but Reverend Lyons, while you're standing.